Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Doug and Wolf from the Oxygen Community Studios. Good morning. Cardinals Monday, and it doesn't feel very good after a 1-3 November. You've got two games against the Rams, a game against two teams that are in a fight to the death for the playoffs in New York and Philadelphia still to come because of the ridiculousness of the NFC East, and now a game that didn't look as important about a month ago against the San Francisco 49ers, and the 49ers are only a game behind the Arizona Cardinals after everything that franchise, you want to talk about adversity, everything that franchise has been through, not just the injuries. The 49ers get on the plane on their way to take on the Rams, and they find out they might not be allowed to come back home. They find out anybody who travels outside 150 miles from Santa Clara County can't come into Santa Clara County without quarantining for 14 days.
Would you say that that's a distraction?
That's a distraction. Wait, am I going to see my family when we land? Mike Shanahan was asked about it after the game, and he actually said, I don't know what we're going to do. Don't ask me because my wife is asking me the same thing. That's what's going on in the division right now, and hopefully the Cardinals are going to be able to overcome it. And with that, we now look at yesterday's game and the Arizona Cardinals not able to come in with a victory on the road at New England. Cliff Kingsbury was asked about the crucial times in this game, one of which the end of the first half.
Yeah, I thought we got in. Then obviously Key's knee was down short and came with a 4th and 6 inches and couldn't see if he got in or not. You know, he went low and it got crowded in there, and I don't think anybody could really tell if he got over, but got to give them credit for that stop.
That was a good call by the replay official and the referee. He did get the ball over the line, and it was a split second after that knee had hit the ground. And
absolutely,
I'm not going after Keyshawn Johnson for that. Yeah, you sure, hey, try to get it over, but he did, and things happen fast. Oh, well. The Christian Kirk drop on the play before.
Okay.
Ouch. Brutal. Possibly a little interference. Just made it hard. You're an NFL player. Make the catch.
Yeah, Christian Kirk would tell you he's got to make that catch. Has to drop the ball.
And then there's going to be two moments in this beautiful part of the program, a couple where I go off, one where Wolf might go off. We'll let Wolf go first.
No. Hey, Cliff, what's your motto when it comes to, you know, short down yardage and sneaking a quarterback up the middle?
Yeah, it's not really our deal right now. And that's kind of what it is.
That's not our deal.
Okay, it's not our deal right now. Listen, the 4th and inches to end the first half, I've got no problem with that. I've got no problem with the decision to go for it in that situation on the road against the New England Patriots after you had that kind of drive moving down the field. Had absolutely, you'd go in, if you would have kicked the field goal in that situation, you'd go into the tunnel with your head down if you were the Arizona Cardinals. It would actually, getting points in that situation, I think, would be deflating just to kick the field goal. To me, I had no problem with a 4th and inches. Let's go for it at the end of the first half. No problem with the play call either. And listen, Douglas, you've heard me talk about this, but you have to have an ordinary to have an extraordinary. And Cliff Kingsbury chose the base play, the ordinary, to score. And this is why you have to run more base plays to be good at running base plays in order to be good at extraordinary plays. Does that make sense? You have to be good at running base plays. You have to depend on certain offensive linemen to come off the ball and get a block. You have to depend on a quarterback knowing what to do. You have to depend on Kenyon Drake, your running back, to get it in at all costs. You at some point in time, you have to say, okay, this is going to be a base play, and our base is better than you. You have to put the onus on the players. You have to do it. You can't always have the extraordinary. The extraordinary. And it was the reason why I love the fact they went with a base play to try to get it in and just say, the onus is on you, J.R. Sweezy. The onus is on you, Mason Cole. The onus is on you, D.J. Humphreys. The onus is to come off the ball and get a block. I'm not calling those guys out at all. I'm just saying you're betting on your offensive line and you're betting on your running back to say, this is, if we're going to win a game, we've got to be able to convert a fourth and inches for a touchdown going in at halftime. I had absolutely no problem with the decision or with the call in that situation.
I don't stand. There's sometimes you disagree with somebody and there's sometimes you're wrong. This is not in any way anybody's wrong. I go by the other team's offense. I wish they would have kicked the field goal there, not because the play didn't work, but because, you know, those games that are like 45-41, I look at those games and say, go for it, because a field goal's not going to win you the game. I look at that game and that offense and that team and Cam Newton's terrible season and say, they can't score enough points to beat us, so let's kick. But in no way am I standing on the table saying anybody's wrong, and I'm totally with you on the actual play call itself. Once you've decided to go for it, it makes perfect sense to say at some point you've got to be able to have Kenyon Drake do that, or all your fun and games with Kyler Murray aren't going to work if nobody ever feels like you're going to give the ball to Drake in the first place. So I'm with you on the play call. The two coaching decisions in this game that I absolutely couldn't stand, and again, if the players did their job, the coaches wouldn't be in this situation. If Christian Kirk catches that ball, they're not in that situation. There's different play. But again, same situation as Miami. You have a first-round pick, Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback that you believe in. You have all the money you've tied into DeAndre Hopkins. You have all of the weapons. And on fourth and one, again, setting your kicker up for a 40-plus yard field goal, you say, never mind, with well over a minute left, giving the other team a short field if you miss and plenty of time to go down the field. And you just had it proven to you against Miami and you didn't learn from it. And then to rub it in even more, 4 hours later, the San Francisco 49ers have that situation, fourth and one, and with only 35 seconds left, they don't want to give the Rams that much time. They go for it. Make the kick easier. Three plays later, they kick the field goal and they win the game.
Yeah.
So this is two times in a row where Cliff has, or one where he's got the lesson and ignores it, and it costs them the game. And then Vance Joseph. Vance, I understand when you only give up 17 points, you did your job. You did a lot of things right in this game. But right now, other than one defensive coordinator in Dallas, over the last year and a half, you are the worst defensive coordinator, second worst, in the NFL with 2 minutes or less remaining in a game or a half. When does this start improving? And it's decisions like the blitz from Buda Baker, where I get it. If you have a quarterback that's been sitting back there all day picking you apart, go ahead and blitz. What you did to Russell Wilson was fantastic. Go ahead and blitz. But the only way Cam Newton can beat you is running past blitzers. So why would you just sit back and say, you know what, you come to us?
No, Doug Lease! It was a blind side. It was perfect. It was right there. No. Make the play. Make the play. He's right there. Tackle him.
He can only beat you with his legs.
He's right there. It's a classic case of saying the play call was beautiful. Now make the tackle.
Whenever you put a player in a position to make a play and they don't, you can blame the player or you can look at Cam Newton.
Oh, no!
Look at Cam Newton. Do you really think Cam Newton is going to march them down the field with his arm?
Are you talking – it's a 3rd and 13, right? That's what we're talking about here, the 3rd and 13, right?
No, we're talking about the play where Isaiah Simmons got hit, had the penalty.
Yeah, right. That was a 3rd and 13.
I am not blitzing.
They had to run, of course.
I'm not blitzing Cam Newton in that situation when he has gone all game with a 20 quarterback rating. He cannot beat you. He can't beat you with his arm.
Oh, my goodness.
Why give him a chance to run?
Just because it's a different look and it was a perfect play call, make the tackle.
I'm not saying Buda should make the tackle.
You got to play.
Buda did make the tackle. He tackled Hassan Reddick.
I'm just saying.
And Hassan Reddick actually busted inside and was trying to get contained to keep Cam Newton there.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, once again, the defense to me, especially over the last 2 weeks, I think Vance Joseph has done his best work since he's been here with his defense and the defensive talent that he's had or not had, I should say. I think he's done his best work, basically. Do I have issues with things that have happened here in the past? Last year was crazy when it came to the tight end. There's no doubt about that. But Man, that one right there, the perfect call, and you don't make the play, in my opinion. And that's what player execution is all about. It's the reason why I say you can call any play known to man, but if you have one guy that doesn't do his job, doesn't do it right, it hoses everybody. Now, in this case, it was a blitz coming off the edge to the blind side of Cam Newton, right? Now, you could talk about a guy that was playing in his own room who made a bad decision on where he dropped in that zone room. That totally gave up a pass behind him. You can't see that as obvious, but it's obvious that it happens when you watch the tape and you know what call is made. Now, all of a sudden, it's the same thing. Players that don't execute in critical situations. And I think that's why the Cardinals lost the game, because they had players who did not execute in critical situations, and that was offensively, defensively, and in transition.
I like the phrase, players win game, coaches lose it.
Yeah, players win games.
And I totally look at that and say, listen, I'm sorry that these two were in positions because all the players screwed up so much in this game, but at the same time, you have two coaches that when it comes to crunch time over the last year and a half can't get it done. Now, I'm not saying fire everybody, but I am saying, when are they going to get it done? When are you going to be able to count on these two in crunch time situations?
You can't count on Buda Baker. Who can you count on?
Coming up next, it's your turn. Wolf's favorite beautiful part of the program.
602-260-QUITTING 70.
Here's your question for the listeners only meeting. What has to change right now? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Richard and Scottsdale, stand down.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford. The listeners only meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show. 602-260-9870.
There's your phone number to join the listeners only meeting. When yours is the opinion that matters, you can sound off, rip the world, or try to stand up to everybody ripping your team. Whatever's on your mind, but you got to funnel it into one question. Here we go. The question is, what needs to change right now for the Arizona Cardinals? Something decision-making-wise, something attitude-wise, leadership, it doesn't matter. Your answer to the question, what is the one thing that needs to change right now if the Cardinals are really going to go to the playoffs? Let's start things off with Chuck. Chuck, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What's the one thing that needs to change right now?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? I think we got to clean these penalties up, man. They're killing us. They're literally killing us, and we could win games. I'm going to have to disagree with Wolf this morning. I would have taken the 3 points. Mm. We'd have walked out of there with something, and we've got to clean this kicking situation up. That's 6 points we gave away yesterday. We lost by 3. So we've got some work to do on special teams, but we've got to clean these penalties up, guys. And that's all I'm going to say this morning.
Chuck, that's a good phone call. It really is. We could disagree all day long on that fourth down and going for it at the end of the first half. Disagree. Yes, take the points. Take the points. I totally understand that. For me, I didn't read it that way. I didn't. So we'll agree to disagree on that.
Let's go to Mike and Mesa. Mike, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What's the one thing that's got to change right now, Mike?
I think we have to take away Cliff Kingsbury's power to call a timeout. Two points to explain. When was the last time you've seen a coach call a timeout on a fourth down when the offense had the ball, only to give the opposing team more time to score a field goal at the end of half? Number two, I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking, but when he called the timeout on third down and 13,
yeah,
that was when the moment I knew New England was going to win. Fourth down, yeah, you call a timeout. But you know they're going to run it. They have, if they stop them on third down, they have, what, 20 seconds to get to score when they get the ball back? It's just not going to happen. You don't call a timeout there. And I think that's the reason why they lost against New England and the reason why they lost against Miami.
Honestly, brother, it's hard to disagree with that. I didn't understand this timeout either, but I'm not great when it comes to clock management either. Just full truth on this, okay? The numbers. It's the numbers. Words, got no problem with words. Numbers sometimes get me a little confused.
I'm always a little nervous to talk about it because I'm good at clock management sitting on a chair and watching a game at home. I have zero idea if I would choke under the pressure of actually having to do it in a real-life situation, but I think that's a really good phone call. Brad, good morning in Cave Creek. Brad, what's the one thing that's got to change right now?
Hey, good morning, guys. Long-time listener, appreciate you guys. Listen to you on the work every morning.
That's cool of you, Brad.
I agree with the previous two callers, for sure, but I just feel like Cliff's got to go a little medieval on everybody, even though it's against his personality, and I don't know if it'd come across as genuine and work, but I just feel like there needs to be this little extra sense of urgency that's there, and I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I saw some behavior from Cliff Kingsbury that I have not seen before, and I liked it, to his point. I love the fact that I saw some emotion and a little outburst from time to time, and I think he's only going to continue to get better in that regard.
If you didn't hear it in the Paulie Pigskin report, Paul told us about a moment when, if you remember, when the Cardinals had to use two timeouts in that first quarter on just a simple drive in which they had a later substitution than they wanted. Bill Belichick took full advantage of the allowance to sub, and with 10 seconds left on the play clock, suddenly, the Patriots slowly jogged off the field, wasted time, and they're allowed to do it. And finally, with 3 seconds left on the play clock, the umpire backed away and allowed the Cardinals to snap it. Not enough time. You had to waste a timeout, and that was when you saw the coach turn and start screaming at the sideline. Rambo, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. Rambo, what's the one thing that's got to change right now?
The coaches. Decision making both sides of the ball. I'm with you on this, Doug. In the last 5 minutes, it's inconsistent. It's awful. And Wolf, I agree. The players make the plays, but the more than any other sport, the coaches put them in position to make plays. So I'll give you a couple of things. One, we don't have a top-notch kicker. He's 27th in the league beyond 40 yards. We act like Morton Anderson's back there every time. We don't. He's not going to make the kick. We all know it. Two, everyone knew Cam Newton in the world was going to run that ball. We had the wrong defense called. It was just horrible, guys. We see this over and over from the Detroit game all the way now. I'm just not pleased, and it's not getting any better. And all those crucial decisions in the last 3-4 minutes, they're not made correctly.
Rambo.
Rambo,
yeah.
I hung up on you only because there was a weird, like, car horn or train horn behind you.
How can you say that faking a tackle zone to the right and having somebody blitz the blind side of Cam Newton was the wrong call? Who's got contain, by the way. That's his job on the blitz, coming off the edge. He's got contain. How do you call that the wrong call? You don't, is the answer to that.
I do.
Buda Baker has to make a play, and he knows it. And would tell you that.
I really like, Rambo, your point on the kicking, too.
Holy cow.
Because when you look at Zane Gonzalez and the fact, I love your stat, when he's not, I don't think anything above 40 yards is a gimme. Should it be? Yeah, but crap happens. But when he's proven to not make it, why would you go back and put him that in the situation? I totally agree with the decision if it's high school. If it's high school, build the kid up. Let him have an opportunity to fix it. Rah, rah. Believe in the young man. This is the NFL. He proved he can't do it in that situation. I'm not saying cut Zane today because of COVID protocols. It's hard to just, boom, drop in a kicker and here we go. There's different rules in place now. But
you got to expect a kicker to make a 49-yard field goal. He did not. You have to expect him to make a 45-yard field goal. He did not. That's trouble.
When do you stop expecting? And when do you start looking at Kyler Murray and saying, wow, you're good? Kyler, get us a yard. Make the kick easier for him, especially with that time on the clock. With that much time on the clock, you have to anticipate if he misses it, what happens. I'm not saying you assume he's going to miss it. If he misses it, what happens? And then you say, we can't leave this much time on the clock. We need to go for it. Charles, you're in Phoenix. Good morning, Charles. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What needs to change right now, Charles?
Hey, good morning, guys. I think the offensive play calling, run plays, play actions, formations with Hopkins to the left, three receivers to the right, very predictable. You know, let's put Murray under center, add a lead blocker. I know Wolf would love that. Or bring in the leveler. We haven't seen him since Kyler got upset the second or third game in. Have a QB sneak in the playbook. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Charles.
Charles, I'm so with you on the QB sneak, okay? But if
you're not with Strebler, just use the Kyler.
No, if you're going to put him under center, go ahead and expand the football universe. All right, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to put him under center for a quarterback sneak, you have to have other plays that come off of that. You have to. You have to have the tackle zone package. I would love to see that. Absolutely love it. Get in the shotgun. Get in the pistol. Get under center. You have no idea where Kyler Murray's going to be. That is what I'd want to do, unless I've got a quarterback that is telling me he doesn't want to run that play. I don't know what else to say. A fourth and inches at some point in time, especially with Kyler, as little as he is and those powerful legs that he's got, I think he'd be very, very effective at a quarterback sneak. That's just me.
Hmm. And then
get skinny.
What about just doing a quarterback sneak for real?
Yeah, it's not really our deal.
Right? Oh, okay.
I asked Cliff that. He said, no way. It's not going to happen.
Coming up next, Isaiah Simmons. Another good game and yet a huge, costly penalty. Everyone's asking the question, you can't make that hit right there, Rook. Or they're saying, what happened to the game of football? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
It's your cue to call if your name is Brandon Rivera of Phoenix.
602-260-9870.
It's time for the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks, in which all of you that have texted GATE to 620-620 are registered for the opportunity to hear your name every weekday morning right after the 7:30 update. Brandon Rivera, you've been called out. If you call 602-260-9870 to win the ultimate virtual tailgate experience, you got a $700 barbecue grill, you've got a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set, and you've got the secret code into the Zoom call to get fired up for Cardinals and Rams. However, make sure you're listening in 10 minutes, because if Brandon does not call, you can call in and steal Brandon's grill.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
What was that number you gave us a little earlier, Paul? The Cam Newton halftime quarterback rating?
Unlucky 13.
13.
That was the passer rating at halftime. By the end of the game, it was 23.6.
That's impossible.
And so Cam redefines winning ugly, as he said after the game.
The coming up at 9:15 this morning, really excited to talk to him. Mike Pereira, Fox Sports rules analyst, former vice president of officiating in the NFL. And I can't wait to ask him, when he's in a meeting with Sunday's officials for the Arizona Cardinals-New England Patriots game, what is he going to say about the quote-unquote blindside block that erased a punt, a return for a touchdown? And what is he going to say to that crew? Because this is what he used to do on the Isaiah Simmons hit. Because there's a little-known fact that the NFL has never broadcast, but it clearly became true after preseason a couple years ago. And that is, they stop saying unnecessary roughness leading with the crown of the helmet, or leading with the helmet. I shouldn't say the crown, because that's still a penalty. Leading with the helmet to initiate contact. And the reason why is they knew you as a fan got upset at that. You as a fan started booing. But if they just said unnecessary roughness, fans didn't really know what the penalty was for.
They were right, too.
So, yeah, they were right. So they stopped doing it. When the penalty on Isaiah Simmons was called, he did not say unnecessary roughness, late hit out of bounds, like they almost always say on a late hit. Therefore, they called it a helmet penalty, I'm guessing, by saying nothing. And Mike Pereira disagreed with them on Twitter. He's had more time to think about it. So I'm interested in seeing, because to me it was shoulder contact that the helmet's hit, yes. But it wasn't leading contact with the helmet. I thought that was a really bad call. So whenever everybody says, hey, Isaiah, you can't make that hit, you know you're going to make that call, I kind of look at it and say, when do you know they're going to make that call? Because it is a hit on a quarterback. They right. do protect quarterbacks. But that man is the biggest man to play quarterback. Don't you have to hit him?
I'll answer that, by the way. You know when they make the call? When they deem or judge the hit to be too severe, too physical
oh, boy.
On a quarterback.
Yeah.
I said it after the game with Pastor Wolf. I'll say it again. The rule really amounts to you hit the quarterback too hard. We're throwing the flag. And we've seen it in a
You're
lot of instances.
Right. Yep.
It's cost the Cardinals. It's benefited the Cardinals. If you thou shalt not hit the quarterback too hard in too physical a fashion, or you will draw a flag.
But
and to
technically,
me, even though he's in bounds, they still threw the flag.
Technically, it shouldn't be thrown. Right? I mean, you
Correct.
Were all agreeing
right.
on that.
Absolutely.
But he hit him so hard. And when I saw it live, I thought, here it comes.
Yep.
When
right.
I saw it live.
Especially in front of the
no
New England
doubt.
Bench.
Yeah.
Because, even though that shouldn't matter, it does.
Because you've been conditioned, Ron Wolf.
Yes,
we've all been conditioned. Oh, he hit the quarterback too hard. Where's the flag? And
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what happened.
If any of you did it, because it's a divisional game, I thought it was really important. I watched it. Watch about 4 minutes to go or so, 3 minutes to go or so, 49ers-Rams. Same situation. Jared Goff actually has his foot hit the green and then come off the green. He's headed out of bounds, but he's not there yet. Richard Sherman hits him. No flag. And he goes tumbling out of bounds.
Yes.
But it's not on the sideline of the Rams near the coaching staff. It's back by the kicking net. No foul. Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can I tell you right now, I love the fact Isaiah Simmons hit him.
Okay.
I loved the fact he went over there and blasted Cam Newton. Boy, that says a lot. That says a lot to me about this kid. He was in bounds. It was a legal hit. I got no problem with what Isaiah did. By the way, he kept his head out of the way as well. Did a great job hitting the shoulder. Knocked the living dog out of Cam Newton, who's a big man. That tells me an awful lot. Isaiah Simmons, the best trend that is going on right now, and I know nobody's talking about it, and rightfully so. Who'd be talking about this? But Isaiah Simmons, the fact that he'll take his face and stick it into the fire, stick it into the fan, this is the best thing you could possibly imagine if you're a Red Sea fan of the Arizona Cardinals, because you're going to see a great player. I'm telling you right now, brothers, you're going to see a great player if you tell me that's what he's going to do. That he'll stick his face into the fire. You're going to watch a great player for years develop here in the basin.
What's ironical, if you will, about that hit and that play and that flag is that name the one quarterback who's been hit harder and more often during his NFL career and not drawn the flag, not gotten the courtesy from the officials. It's Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton in a Carolina uniform perhaps doesn't draw that flag, but Cam Newton, 10 yards away from Bill Belichick in the Patriots' home stadium, draws that flag.
Boy, he hit him, though. He did.
He did hit him.
He
let him have it.
Cliff Kingsbury, what did you see?
I couldn't tell. I just saw the replay like y'all did. Looked like the quarterback was still in play, but I didn't get a great look at it.
In other words, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then there's Isaiah Simmons chasing down Cam from behind on his sack, so that was another double thumbs up on the punt return flag that was thrown. And I get it. The Patriots player, by the rule, the letter of the law in today's NFL 2020, is supposed to either use his hands or get in the way and shield instead of delivering a blow. Here's the problem. Zeke Turner is a big dude, and he's running full speed on punt cover, and he's about to make the tackle, or at least he's closing. So if you're just going to put yourself in harm's way, you're going to get absolutely jack-stomped if you're the Patriot. You're going to get crushed. So he had to at least deliver some sort of shoulder pad football blow just to protect himself, and they still flagged him up for that, and the Patriots went nuts.
It's a really interesting sidebar to the rule book, and I can't wait to talk to Mike Pereira about this because no one has ever commented on this. The rule is when going back towards your own end zone. nobody has ever said, is it going back to your own end zone when you don't take a step towards your own end zone? You just brace for contact and somewhat move your body, maybe, what, an inch and a half towards your own end zone? All he did was brace for contact, and he did kind of rock to make the hit. He did. He rocked to make the hit. But he never took a step towards the end zone. So you talk about the grayest area in the history of the world of the rule, and I understand the NFL is telling referees, when you're not sure, throw the flag. Err on the side of the player safety. But I can't wait to hear Mike Pereira, 9:15 in our exclusive conversation, say yes. That's got to be a foul in today's NFL, or absolutely not. That's taking the rule too far.
And going,
I thought both calls were wrong.
And going full circle back to the original one we were talking about, the hit on Cam by Isaiah Simmons, you need to ask Mike Pereira, hey, Mike, come on out, wink, wink. Is the rule really deemed by the league if you hit the quarterback too hard? Come on. Give us a scoop on that. Have the officials really been to protect thy quarterback who makes $40 million a year and do anything and everything you can via the rule book?
Cam wishes he made $40
million. Coming up next.
He's only making $1 million this year. He's on the cap for $1 million.
If Kyler Murray is available, should he not be running the football? Huh. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate.
Brandon Rivera from Phoenix did not call in. We're on a losing streak here, just like Arizona is.
Big time.
Brandon let us down, and therefore, in honor of Cam Newton's 13 quarterback rating in the first half.
Camden.
Caller number 13. You're the guy to steal Brandon's grill.
602-260-9870.
Brandon Rivera from Phoenix did not call in. Here's an easier way to win. Text GATE to 620-620 and be listening tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning for your name to be announced on the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks, and you could win a $700 barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. Or steal Brandon's grill by being caller number 13 right now.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Three of their last four, all in November, losses. If not for the Hail Murray, they'd be 0-4 in the month. Yet as bad as it is, they are still in the playoffs as a 7 seed right now. And it gets even better if Philadelphia wins tonight against the Seattle Seahawks. That puts you one game out of the 3 seed, as ridiculous as it sounds, if the Eagles get the win.
Man.
So, on the one hand, we do have to look at it. There is a problem. Who's going to admit it? Who's going to figure out what it is? Who's going to address it? Who's going to fix it? But it is not all doom and gloom, because the rest of the NFC hasn't forced your hand as of yet. But one major question in yesterday's game, if Kyler Murray was totally healthy, why did he not run the football as much? Not as many called runs, things like that. What happened, Cliff Kingsbury?
They definitely were keyed in on the him running it. Thought he made good decisions when to run it, and was efficient in that. So I'd say that would be about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I thought they did an excellent job in defending Kyler Murray, and this is the game plan that is starting to formulate around Kyler Murray right now, based on what we saw yesterday. I'll go all the way back to the Seattle Seahawks game on Thursday night. The Seahawks did it, and so did the Patriots yesterday. Play Kyler Murray. Play him heavy, right? Force him to hand the ball off. Keep him in the pocket. Keep everything. Force him to throw in front of you, right? Play zone cover. Keep your eyes on him. Mix in man from time to time so you don't get a steady diet of anything. Make him beat you with his arm. That's the game plan. Stop it. I mean, that is incredible to me when you stop and think about it. Kyler Murray coming into the organization, it was all about his ability to throw the ball and how talented his arm is. you know, his running, that was going to be great as well. He's a fast guy, runs a 4.3, a scramble here, a scramble there. What we really didn't expect to see is the fact that all these called runs for Kyler Murray would be on the table to the degree in which they have been.
One of the things, this might be a small thing, but when it leads to turnovers, it becomes a big thing. Clearly, Bill Belichick does not believe Kyler Murray is 5'10". More than any other team, they did a lot of just get your hands up and knock down passes. And I remember the Cardinals talked a lot about this when it came to the draft, saying, listen, he's been 5'10 his whole life, and they're not knocking down passes at Oklahoma. They were right. There were very few knockdown passes at Oklahoma. It's officially a thing, I think, with the Arizona Cardinals because people like Bill Belichick are making it so, which kind of brings up the question, don't you have to run the ball to be successful, Kyler? Listen to his answer.
I feel like I don't think I have to run for us to be successful. I'm very confident on running backs, it is what it is. They choose to, take me out of it. I got to hand the ball off. I can't control the ball after that. I got to hand the ball off.
There's no doubt about it. Listen, if in fact you're saying Kyler Murray has got to run for Kyler Murray to be Kyler Murray, we're in trouble. We're in a ton of trouble. If you're telling me right now that Kyler Murray's got to run the ball, designed runs, call the play, Cliff, snap it to him, and we've got to run Kyler Murray for him to be effective, he's going to be out of the league in 4 years, maybe five. That's how long I give him. If you're telling me that's what you're expecting him to be, more of a running quarterback than a throwing quarterback, we're in trouble if that's the case. That is not the case, right? There's no way that Kyler Murray has to run the ball for him to be effective. What he has to do is see coverage better, read coverage, see coverage better, and throw the ball down the field. That's what he has to be able to do. He's got to develop in that regard. But if you're telling me right now that he's got to run the ball on called runs for him to be Kyler Murray and to be effective, that's not Steve Keim didn't draft him for that. That was a bonus. That was a throw-in. It's the arm and the fact that he did know how to throw the ball down the field and does know how to throw the ball down the field, right? Otherwise, abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
It brings up a scary point, and that is, how patient do you want to be? Because we're sitting here with a team. How long? It feels terrible in this city to get to the playoffs. Suns go 8-0 in the bubble. They can't make the playoffs 10 years. Diamondbacks make the playoffs, and Zach Greinke can't do anything in game one against the Rockies. So, therefore, you bring in Robbie Ray, your Dodger killer. Now he's gone. You get swept by the Dodgers. You don't go back. Okay, we have these issues left and right. Coyotes trying to make the playoffs. I guess they made the playoffs last year. It felt good. Now everybody feels like they're all gone. Everybody's out of the team, and we don't even know what's going to happen next. So that's the state of playoffs in our team. Lose to USC week one. We don't even know when there's another ASU game. So we want it. We're killing for it. We're dying for it. But do we have to wait? Do we have to go through Kyler growing pains because it is only year two of Kyler Murray? It's only year two of Cliff Kingsbury. Yet, I don't think it's unfair to say I would like to see the growth a little faster. And I mean decision-making from Cliff at the end of games, clock management, and I would like to see from Kyler how long. And yet, I know when I ask the question to Kyler, it's a little unfair because we're also talking about a guy who never had a normal spring ball in college because of baseball. He goes through his rookie draft, and he gets dumped into the team as the starter. And then in the second year where there's supposed to be the most growth, he has no OTAs, no mini camp in a pandemic.
Yes.
But I want it anyway.
Yes, exactly. We want it all right now. No, listen, is Kyler Murray? Kyler Murray's on track to be a franchise quarterback, ladies and gentlemen. But this is exactly why I'll always say it takes time to be a franchise quarterback. Because to be a true franchise quarterback means you prove that on the field, your tangible skills are good enough to win games. And off the field, your intangible skills are good enough to lead a team. It takes time to prove that. years to prove that. And when I say years, I'm talking 2 to 3 into 4 years to prove that you are a true franchise quarterback and we're going to build our team around you for the next decade to 12 years. It takes time to do that. Right now, he's on track as far as I'm concerned. He's developing all of those skills, but we're talking about a guy that has played college football for 1 year, really. One season at Oklahoma. One season where he was the guy, and it was a great season at Oklahoma. Now, all of a sudden, he's got to develop all these other skills. How to deal with teammates. How to manage games. How to manage his emotions. All of these intangibles. It's the reason why I say that it takes time to be a franchise quarterback, to prove that you're a franchise quarterback.
And I really pray those of you that are the hardcore intelligent football fans hear what we just said, because there's a group of Suns fans that think because we expect DeAndre Ayton to play like a first draft pick overall that we're being too mean. You're hard on DeAndre. Be nice to DeAndre. And it's the same thing with Kyler Murray.
Yes.
Kyler Murray, we're not saying he's not going to get there. Oh. We're not saying the Cardinals need to go find a quarterback. And we're not saying he's the greatest thing in the world. We're saying this is what's wrong. Kyler, do you accept that you're not seeing it? Are you ready to work harder at seeing it? And we understand we've got to be patient. But it doesn't. Our patience doesn't change the fact that you're not seeing it.
This is where I disagree with Bart Scott. Okay? Can't wait. Bart Scott. This is where I disagree with Bart Scott. The fact he was talking about Kyler like he's never going to get it. He's never going. He's in year two. He's a guy who's still developing and finding himself. That's where I disagree with Bart Scott. Anybody who's watched this team closely, you knew Kyler Murray, you know what? Oh, he's got to develop. He's got to continue to develop as a leader. He's got to develop those intangibles. To say that he's not going to is, it's way too early to say that right now. That would be nothing but a bald face guess.
I said it first. Kyler Murray is not a leader of men, and if this team hits adversity, they lose Fitzgerald. You know, they ever have Andrew Hopkins. He's going to come apart at the seams.
That's all I'm saying. Don't act like it's Hayes in the barn, because I don't think it is. He's a young guy.
Coming up next, the Cardinals are a Hail Mary separated from a four-game losing streak. What's got to change? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Can't wait!